This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And thanks for being here this afternoon on Inside Douglas County. Going to talk about crisis intervention team and a local effort underway with Roseburg Police and with ADAPT, Sergeant Doug Walton from Roseburg Police. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And by the way, before we jump in, since you're here and live on the radio and all of that, congratulations on getting a Medal of Honor for your actions back in February at the Oregon Peace Officers Association banquet recently.
Thank you very much, Kyle.
We all remember that situation, and that was quite the day. Also, from ADAPT, Cheryl McDonald, and thanks for coming.
Thank you.
So, I guess let's back up when we talk about crisis or intervention teams. Why don't you guys kind of talk about the history of these nationally? When did this kind of get started?
So, back in about 1987 in Memphis, Tennessee, a black man was chasing his neighbors around with a knife, and it ultimately resulted in the police shooting and killing him. There was some community uproar. There was some racial concerns and the fact that he was mentally ill. The mayor teamed up with the police department and local mental health clinics, and that's really where the crisis intervention team concept came from.
And Cheryl, what about locally? How did this start to evolve?
Well, since the first program in Memphis, Tennessee began, crisis programs have been started in states all over the country. CAHOOTS is a program out of Lane County that has been in operation since 1989, and they've recently received national attention for the work they've been doing in their community. In the last several years, there's been a lot of national attention on improving community mental health response through the use of mobile crisis. People tend to call law enforcement when they don't know what else to do. They may not have family or friends or other resources to call, so they call law enforcement, even if it may not be a public safety or a criminal concern. Mobile crisis teams are really helpful in that we can provide on-site assessment, crisis management, referrals to follow-up treatment, while also developing a treatment-focused relationship with the person in crisis.
So, Doug, when these situations happen, and I don't know how many times in recent weeks even, I've heard somebody on the police scanner ask about if ADAPT was on at that point. It seems like this has become something that that really is very helpful.
Yeah, although we don't have any specific formal metrics to say, yes, the program is being successful, anecdotally, law enforcement believes wholeheartedly that it is. We can ask our mobile crisis partners to help us out with survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, car crashes, those who are experiencing psychiatric problems, welfare checks. Pretty much if it runs the gamut of where somebody could potentially be in crisis, where their normal coping mechanisms are overwhelmed, we will ask those professionals to come over and help us out.
So is somebody from ADAPT, somebody who's a professional at this, available all the time, or is this on certain shifts that are maybe kind of targeted based on when need normally is?
We have mobile crisis teams available 7 days each week from 7 a.m. to midnight. One of our goals for our new grant is to look at ways that we can have mobile crisis available 24 hours a day. But for right now, between midnight and 7 a.m., we do have an on-call crisis therapist. The crisis therapist can be reached directly by law enforcement or dispatch. Individuals who might need crisis response can contact the 24-hour-a-day ADAPT mental health line and request crisis assistance.
So for the ADAPT staffer that's involved, what's kind of their background or training or accreditation?
We use a team of two providers. Usually it's one crisis therapist and one crisis case manager. The crisis therapist is a master's level clinician who has completed a graduate program either in psychology, social work, or counseling. And the crisis case manager is a bachelor's level clinician with studies in that same background.
And so, Doug, for you coming out of the police academy, what type of training is offered in these areas?
Well, when I went through the police academy, we got about 3 hours. And as of 2018, they bumped that up to 32 hours, and there's a requirement for 3 hours annually follow-up. Now, to put that in perspective, I can't imagine that if your car were to break down and you took it to a mechanic who said, hey, I have 4 days worth of training, I'll be happy to take care of your vehicle, that you'd be too thrilled about leaving your vehicle with that person. That's about the equivalent of what it is for your average law enforcement officer right now. And we have been historically the ones called to deal with folks who are in crisis, basically because there really wasn't anybody else. So this is now us almost being like the tow truck. We're being able to provide that mechanic. We'll take the car to the mechanic who has the education to be able to repair your vehicle.
And do you think that the training available to police is going to increase even more in the future?
Oh, absolutely. The state of Oregon is very much behind law enforcement receiving training. There's a CIT, the CIT program, Crisis Intervention Team program, which is 40 hours long. And as of 2 years ago, the state has received funding to certify through the National Anger Management Association law enforcement officers, clinicians, and basically anybody else who's gone through the 40-hour crisis intervention team training and has had 3 years of experience in their career field, which is usually going to be law enforcement or counseling, to certify them as a crisis intervention specialist.
Do you ever see or do you envision in the future these two areas molding even closer together, or maybe even police officers that end up with sort of an ADAPT or other agency level of this training?
Sure. You know, police officers come from all different kinds of backgrounds. I know several police officers who are master's level clinicians, that they are a licensed clinical therapist, and they do a police officer job as their kind of their second job. There's officers who have doctorates in psychology. So it certainly can happen. I think the longer that things go, the more training there will be available for officers, and there should be more training available. Now, that's not going to be the end-all, be-all. If someone's swinging a hatchet at someone, sometimes talking to them is not going to be able to work. There may end up needing to be a use of force, as minimal as possible, but you just never know at times.
What are some of the successes you're seeing in terms of improving the outcomes of situations where you're able to go in and get things diffused and kind of sort of start over?
Sure. You know, the best examples that I can provide is when if an officer doesn't even have to go at all. That's the best case scenario, where a clinician would respond and deal with that person. A best case law enforcement is we show up, we're able to stabilize the situation long enough to make it safe for a clinician to come in, assist the person working through their crisis at the time, and more importantly, get them some follow-up services either that evening or the next day, and then continue so that person can continue with the follow-on care so they don't end up back in the crisis they were in.
Is this kind of like other situations where I hear sometimes law enforcement is at the scene of something and they've got to take a number of steps before, if it was a medical related situation, before medical folks, before it's really safe for them to be there? Is that kind of a similar thing?
Yes, absolutely.
So Cheryl, what's your role with ADAPT to all this?
I am the crisis program director.
And how long have you been doing that?
I have been in that position for about 6 months. I've been with the agency for 4 years now.
And what's sort of your take of watching this from the ADAPT side?
It's such a valuable experience. We are able to be out in the community and provide those services, community-based services, really making a connection with people when they're in crisis. We are working with individuals and families and supports to offer them a name and a face of someone they can follow up with, and then support and guidance through a recovery process.
We're going to talk more when we come back on Inside Douglas County.
KQEN.
Sergeant Doug Walton, Roseburg Police, and Cheryl McDonald from ADAPT. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. KQEN Little Talk. KQEN Local Talk at 4. David Littlejohn, if I can get that out right, coming up later today at 4. And later on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, one of the Republican candidates for governor, Nick Hess, will be joining us on that program. And we're talking about the crisis intervention team with Roseburg Police and ADAPT. Sergeant Doug Walton with us and Cheryl McDonald from ADAPT. What about situations that would have turned out, Doug, very differently if you didn't have somebody there to help out, where, you know, whether you were at the situation or you've heard about it from other staff, where you know things would have just gone south if that mental health help wasn't there?
Sure. You know, that's a tough one. For many years, we have not had the help. And so we have currently 8 hostage negotiators with the Roseburg Police Department. They're all crisis intervention team trained, 4 of which are the advanced CIT, or they are certified crisis intervention specialists. And we're able to use their skills to help resolve quite a few things. The best thing I can say is that we have a new option. And where before we've made it work, and thankfully we've been very successful with making it work, but now we have the extra ability to bring folks in that, where part of our successful resolution, the person might just go to jail. That might be the end of it. As to now, where even if they go to jail, ADAPT is able to meet with them inside of the jail and try to work through the issues that they're having so that we can prevent those kind of things from happening. And I think that's really where I would like to see a focus go, is the outreach, trying to get folks before they're in that crisis mode, so to speak, and able to keep them stabilized so the police never have to be involved.
And Cheryl, obviously through this pandemic period, there have been so many people that have been mentally taxed to the max, and there, you know, been a lot of stats out about increases in different issues along the way. And it seems like for some people, they reach a breaking point where they snap, and then you end up with law enforcement involved because of what they might do. Whereas if you can catch them before they snap, essentially, you're going to have a much more different outcome, both in the short and long term.
Absolutely. We've seen a pretty dramatic increase in people who are experiencing depression because of the isolation due to the pandemic, or people who are grieving and need crisis support because they've recently lost a loved one due to COVID. If we can access those people at different points beyond a crisis interaction and then start providing them with services, hopefully we can improve the outcomes.
So for the people that are helping with this from ADAPT, is that what they do all the time, or are they in other roles at ADAPT, you know, meeting people in person or online or whatever?
No, they are primarily focused on a mobile crisis response. We recently received a new grant that allowed us to go from 2 full-time mobile crisis responders to 8 full-time mobile crisis responders. So we work in teams of 2, and they respond out together and coordinate with each other, and that is their primary task.
And that is got to be very different than a typical, you know, in-person session of counseling and meeting with someone that way.
It is, but I think that most of us really enjoy the fast pace and variety of work that we're doing and the services we're able to provide to our community.
So with the officers out there, can anybody from RPD then basically ask for ADAPT for the assistance?
Anyone from RPD can. Anyone from Oregon State Police, Myrtle Creek Police, Douglas County Sheriffs. We are, with our new grant, we have expanded our focus to all law enforcement agencies in Douglas County.
And is that a fairly recent development?
It is. We are coming to the end of our 3-year funding cycle for our original grant, which was in partnership with Roseburg Police Department. And we're starting the award period for our new grant, which allowed us to expand that service to all of Douglas County.
What's the reaction from these other agencies about being able to tie in with you guys as well?
We've had tremendous reactions and tremendous support from law enforcement. We've heard stories of excellent resolutions for folks from people that we've provided services to. And we see that this program is successful in terms of people who are coming in for services after their initial crisis response. They're coming in to start mental health services. They're coming in to start substance use services. Or instead of calling 911 the next time they have a crisis, they're calling the crisis team directly and working that out.
Sometimes it seems like you hear stories of people who hit rock bottom and when they wake up and realize they're in jail, that's when they realize they better do some things differently. But it seems like this way, you've got the potential to help people before they even get that, as part of their permanent record and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything that we can do on the front end to prevent those crises from occurring, that really makes it better for everybody, especially the person that's having the crisis.
And what about some of these folks that you interact with in one of these situations? Obviously, officers are out. It's not that big of a town. You see people, just out in traffic or whatever. Do you look back at people that have been helped by this program and see them improving in other encounters you have with them?
Sure. There's always improvement in certain areas. Some folks are ready to receive the help, and some folks are not ready to receive the help. We'll help the ones that we can, and we'll continue to respond to those who need help. Even if they're not ready, we'll always be there to offer that help, and maybe one of these times they'll reach out their hand.
And Cheryl, I would imagine that in these mental health areas, it's much like maybe an addiction. Sometimes it's a couple steps forward, a step back. I mean, it's not always a clear path. It may be pretty bumpy and rocky.
It certainly can be. I think the important thing to remember is that even when it's bumpy and rocky, mobile crisis responders are providing people with options and resources and names and faces of people that individuals in the community know they can reach out to help for when needed.
What about elsewhere in Oregon? How widespread is this kind of effort?
Well, I mean, like Cheryl mentioned, CAHOOTS up in Lane County is almost considered like the national standard right now. There are every county, I believe every county in Oregon right now has a crisis intervention team coordinator. They do some form of crisis response. There's really three. There's a crisis intervention team, law enforcement trained officers who respond. There's co-response, similar to what we do here in Douglas County, where officers and clinicians respond together. And like CAHOOTS goes to calls for service on their own if it's deemed safe, where we do the same thing here, or the mobile crisis team does the same thing here in Douglas County. If it's deemed to be safe, if they feel safe going, then they'll respond themselves.
And do you ever have situations where the mental health folks are riding along with the officer at certain shifts?
Yeah, that's happened less since the pandemic. Our ride-alongs have been really drastically decreased. We still do them on occasion. Once we could get some things figured out a little bit better with some logistics, I would like to see team members riding together. It gives the mobile crisis folks an opportunity to see how law enforcement deals with people in crisis, and it also gives the law enforcement officer an opportunity to see how a mobile crisis clinician deals with somebody in crisis.
All right, perfect. Out of time for today. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And Sergeant Doug Walton of Roseburg Police and Cheryl McDonald from ADAPT 1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.